Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the address today is the Gospel reading. I'll read to you again just verse 8 in a slightly different translation as it's printed on the front of your bulletin. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. We live in a time when generally people are happy with a little bit of Jesus. A little bit of Jesus alongside many other sources of spiritual help. Jesus as simply one more among the pantheon of spiritual teachers and gurus. But the Transfiguration points us to something different. It points us to Jesus only. We live in a world where there are so many voices competing for our attention, telling us who we are and who we should be, telling us what to think and how to live. But the Transfiguration would teach us to listen to Jesus only. We live as people who are always tempted to put our trust in things other than Jesus, even to put our trust in ourselves and our own strengths and abilities, put our trust in our good works. But the Transfiguration calls us to put our faith in Jesus only. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This is our theme for today, Jesus only. It is the scarlet thread that runs through the Transfiguration account. And so let's trace this theme through today under three headings. Jesus only as a person, Jesus only as a teacher, and Jesus only as a Savior. First is Jesus only as a person. This is the point in the first part of our text, the Transfiguration event itself. It begins like this. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. Something extraordinary happens here to Jesus, which is to leave his disciples and us in no doubt that he is not simply another holy man among many. He is unique. He has a glory and majesty that is his in his person, like no other. Notice Moses and Elijah, they are on the mountain too, but they are not transfigured like he is. And I think we are supposed to have in the back of our minds that event we heard in our Old Testament reading today. That actually something similar did happen with Moses, didn't it? Moses too was on a mountain. Moses spoke with God. Moses' face also shone. So there is something similar to do with the light of God's presence and the radiance of his glory. But the big point here is not the similarity, but the contrast. Whereas Moses reflects the glory of God, Jesus shines with the glory of God from his own person. We talked about this with the kids, didn't we? We thought of the sun and the moon. My kids love spotting the moon in the sky at night, especially when it's big and bright. And sometimes they do ask, how does the moon shine like that? It's hard for them to understand, but we explain to them, actually the moon only reflects the light of the sun. It happened in another instance with my little fella the other day when we were talking about his bike. And we were talking about the little reflectors on the bike and how they're there for safety and all this sort of thing. But then he wanted me to turn them on Where's the button, Dad? Turn the reflectors on. Make them light up and flash. And I had to explain that these ones don't work like that. They reflect light from somewhere else. Moses reflected the light and the glory of God's presence, but for Jesus, that light and glory shines from within him. This is the glory he has always had as the Son of God, but as he took on human flesh, it was veiled, it was hidden, until this briefest of moments, when it is marvelously revealed to his chosen disciples. It's as the writer in the book of Hebrews says, that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. So what do we make of Peter's reaction then? Well, on the one hand, Peter does get some of this. He gets something of what we've just been talking about. He knows that the glory of God once filled the tabernacle and later the temple. The tabernacle, that big tent. And so now in this new extraordinary manifestation of the glory of God in Jesus, Peter senses something similar. And so he thinks maybe new tents are called for, new little tabernacles. The problem is that he asks for three, suggests three. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus on an equal footing, whereas remember the point of this whole event is to get us to Jesus only. This is Jesus only as a person. Next is Jesus only as a teacher. And this is the focus in the next part of the text where we read this. While Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now some commentators point out that this is almost comical when you read it closely because God actually interrupts Peter. You know, we try not to interrupt each other when we are talking if we're being polite, but God's the Father's intervention happens, it says, while Peter was still speaking. Poor old Peter. It's like, nice try, Peter. We know you're trying to do the right thing, trying to make helpful suggestions, but just stop talking. And when God interrupts you from heaven, it's time to take the hint, which he does. What does this intervention of the Father show, though? What's the point of it? Well, it's no small thing that Moses and Elijah are the ones on the mountain with Jesus. Because if these faithful Jewish people were going to listen to anyone, it would be Moses and Elijah. Again, as we've already said, we heard about Moses in our Old Testament reading today. That on that occasion, God gave his law to the people through Moses. We know Moses was also a great prophet. And that Moses promised that a greater prophet than him would one day arise, and he said, listen to him. Then there's Elijah. Elijah stands in the scriptures as another great prophet, perhaps even a representative prophet. And so here you have these two figures who you could say sort of cover the whole of the Old Testament. Yet the Father's voice does not say, listen to them, but listen to him, Jesus only. Again, we think of the book of Hebrews. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by in his Son. Now, we need to be a little bit careful here. This isn't saying that the Old Testament is not important. This isn't saying that the only parts of the Bible that we read are those red letter bits, if you know what I'm talking about. Don't go in that direction. Because notice, Jesus wasn't arguing with Moses and Elijah. They were talking. It's not as if Jesus went up that mountain to sort of push Moses and Elijah off. They're talking. And in fact, Luke tells us they're talking about what Jesus has come to do. This here on the mountain is a little visual representation of what Jesus says elsewhere, that he has come not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. So we don't do away with the Old Testament, but we do read and hear it in connection with our listening first and foremost to Jesus. So what does this mean for us today? I think it's important for us, especially in our day, to see this theme of Jesus only as a teacher. As we said at the beginning, there are just so many voices out there competing for our attention, aren't there? Pastor Fraser spoke a little about this last week, all of the distractions in modern life that would prevent us from listening to Jesus. Some of them are fairly harmless, but others aren't. There are voices all around us in the media, in the culture, from friends and family even, which would call into question all sorts of things about the Christian faith. God's very existence, or whether you can trust him. Voices which would call into question God's church and its relevance. Voices which challenge our very conception of who we are as human beings. Voices which challenge fundamental things like humanity being made in God's image, and so being inherently sacred. Fundamental things like human beings being made in God's image as male and female. All of these voices around us, which at some level we cannot escape. And so in the midst of all of them, the transfiguration calls us again to listen only to Jesus. Jesus only as a teacher. Then finally is Jesus only as our Savior. This is the emphasis, especially in the last part of the text. When the disciples heard this, that's the voice from heaven, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one but Jesus only. So the disciples' reaction here is the most common reaction in the scriptures to an encounter with God: fear. The scriptures tell us in the New Testament it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We who have the wonderful privilege and blessing of having received the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we also need to remember that apart from Christ, left in our sin, an encounter with the majesty and glory of God is not good news. It's a fearful thing. It puts you flat on the ground like these disciples. Perhaps in your life right now, there are things of which you are afraid. Perhaps like many people, there are even things in your life now or in your past which make you fearful of the presence of God. Hear the good news of the Transfiguration. The Lord Jesus, who shines like the brilliance of the sun in the majestic glory and holiness of God, is the same Lord Jesus who comes near in mercy and compassion, who touches his disciples, and who says, "Get up, do not be afraid." And in whatever situation you are in life at the moment, he says to you, "Get up. Do not be afraid." Apart from Jesus, we are not just flat on the ground in fear, we are spiritually dead in our sins. But in his coming into the world as one of us, Jesus has come with that touch. That is, with his physical presence among us. And he comes not only to take away our fear, but to lift us from death to life. He does that not on the Mount of Transfiguration, but on the Mount of Calvary. That's where he will lift you into his glory by entering into your shame. That's where he will clothe you with his brightness by being clothed with your sin. That's where we hear, my God, why have you forsaken me? From the one who on the Mount of Transfiguration heard, this is my Son, the Beloved. And he is raised to life again and permanently clothed in glory in his resurrection so that he can share that glory with you. Do not look to any other. Do not trust in your own strength and abilities. Trust in Jesus only as your Savior. And he is your Savior to bring you to glory. And I just want to finish briefly on this note today. That one of the most marvelous things for me personally about the Transfiguration is that it's not only about the glory of Jesus that he has always had and does have again after his resurrection, but it's also a glimpse of the glory he has in store for us, his people. The Transfiguration hymns pick up on this beautifully. One we've already sung today. O wondrous type, O vision fair of glory that the church shall share. Later on, we'll sing these words. Fulfiller of the past, promise of things to be, we hail your body glorified and our redemption see. Your human body and your human existence may not always feel very glorious. Your body may in fact be breaking down and causing you to suffer in all sorts of ways, but in Christ, you are destined for a glorious future. This is how St. Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us or even in us. Jesus only as our Savior. This is the Transfiguration. Jesus only as a person, not a reflected glory, but the glory of God in Jesus. Jesus only as a teacher, not just another prophet, but the final and definitive word from God. Jesus only as a Savior. Look to him and nowhere else. For when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.